This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Resource Center, the show where we discuss the tools and techniques you need to be at the forefront of the ever-evolving world of business. Hello there, this is Audrey Raj. Now, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, my favorite part of every work year has now gone digital. I'm talking about performance reviews, and yes, I was joking when I called it my favorite. It is just as painful and stressful for me as the next guy. Now, as we continue to grapple with the limitations COVID-19 has forced us to live with, organizations are struggling to ascertain what are the best ways to keep employees engaged, motivated, and at optimum levels of performance. Now, according to our guest on the show today, the solution to all of this is to undertake a performance evaluation and potential review of your employees. Claudia believes this will ensure they are aware of their contributions and understand what are the expectations from them and the available opportunities for growth and development, even when they may be working from home. So I'm going to let her argue her case on the show today and then tell us how we can do performance evaluations remotely and how to get it done right.
Hi, Audrey. Thank you so much for inviting me today. Just as a little introduction of myself, my name is Claudia Cadena. I am a HR professional with over 28 years of strategic, operational, and consulting experience. I have my own advisory and consulting practice called Thread Advisory. Check it out. It's on www.threadadvisory.com. And I focus on three areas: providing independent HR advice, supplementing organizations' internal HR capability and capacity through the provision of operational and strategic HR support, and leadership and capability development and coaching.
Claudia, thank you for coming back on the show with me. How have you been?
Thanks, Audrey, for inviting me again. I've been well. I've been good. It's been obviously a challenging year like for everybody else, but it's been good. I think organizations and leaders are obviously thinking through a lot of challenges that the new normal is bringing to their organizations. And one of the most important challenges that they are looking at and thinking about is how to make sure that even remotely, employees can be adequately, fairly, and objectively evaluated on their performance and contribution. Yeah. And this is not just to provide a rating, but really to see how can we help them grow and develop.
Yeah. Now, Claudia, some organizations have decided to skip the entire appraisals process for 2020 because of the personal and work challenges that's been posed by the pandemic, right? Why should we not forego these performance review processes?
I am sad to hear that that's happening, because evaluating somebody's performance is a great opportunity for the employee and for the manager to really understand what has happened, how has the employee developed, growth, and contributed, and what needs to happen next so that they can continue remaining relevant to the organization and being able to understand how to move forward. So it's not about skipping the process altogether, but it's really reflecting how best can we adapt it to make sure that even under the circumstances, we can continue undertaking the steps that are necessary.
And how do we do this? How do we adapt the process to the current environment?
Well, first of all, I think understanding that the process is necessary, understanding why are we doing this, is the most important part of the whole thing. Whenever leaders understand that we are doing this for the benefit of the organization and the employee, then we start looking at how can we make changes? What are the things that we can do differently? So yes, we may not be able to be present in the conversations. We may not be able to do it the way we used to do it. So I will say, let's focus on the five main things that I will advise people to look at. First of all, from a HR perspective, the teams that are responsible for managing this process, like the talent management team, should start thinking, what is the best way to facilitate this performance evaluation with people managers? So if we cannot do it one-to-one and personally, is there a way to do it virtually, first of all? We have to develop the discipline internally of having people having conversations. And therefore, maybe the leaders should come together as a talent council so that they can have these virtual meetings to discuss and moderate employees' ratings and performance conversations so that there is alignment and consistency throughout all the organization in how people do the ratings. Thirdly, there should be a way of guiding employees and managers as to how to conduct these conversations, how to provide feedback, using obviously the remote tools like video conference. It's not easy. Some people are not even familiar with how to use technology. So let's help them be familiar with the technology first to then conduct these conversations remotely. If the infrastructure is not available, many people may not have Wi-Fi. Many people may not know how to use the technology. So we have to start from there. Let's see who has it, who doesn't, and help them navigate the infrastructure. In certain cases, organizations may not have the internal capability or capacity to do all this. That's when people like me can be helpful, because we can help the organization navigate the process, helping the internal resources. And lastly, obviously, let's look at technology. Putting in place the right technology can help us and simplify the process, but technology must be just an enabler. The conversation is what matters most, and therefore let's use technology to enable that conversation. So those to me will be the five top things that any leader at the moment should be thinking about so that the process can continue taking place as it should.
Claudia, you know, companies go about their performance reviews differently. Some do it as a top-down approach where they're only evaluated by their supervisor. Some have a 360-degree approach where you have to evaluate your peers as well as your supervisor. But how do you do something like that when you're working from home?
Well, good question. First of all, I believe that the process of undertaking the evaluation will not be what is most critical, but it's really understanding the possibilities, understanding what are the options available and what is the organization ready to implement. So as you said, in certain cases, the process is very one-sided and top-down. In other cases, there is a variety of inputs that are collected in the process. So I guess the first thing that is critical is let's understand the alternatives available so that we can then manage the limitations. Very quickly, what alternatives do we have? We have obviously, in my mind, the most important one, which is self-evaluation. We should always be asking the employee, evaluate yourself. Try and think through what did you achieve and what areas you need to enhance. You can consider your strengths, your areas for improvement, and that in itself helps the individuals improve their self-awareness. Having the supervisor then provide additional inputs to this employee will obviously provide a different angle or perspective to their own self-perception. And sometimes it's important for the supervisor to also gather multiple inputs from other places apart from his or her own department, because this employee may interact with others. So there is complexity in the process. However, it's all about how do we feel the organization will be best equipped to provide the relevant input to the employee. If we always start by thinking that what's most important is to provide clear, transparent, and objective information to our employees so that they understand the impact they are generating in the organization and how to grow and develop, then the managers will do whatever is needed to make sure that that process is followed and accomplished. Now, if we think about the challenges and how to do this, again, I go back to let's make sure that we use the tools available. Having a conversation can be done over a phone call, like what we're doing today. You're not interviewing me face by face. You are calling me. So why can't managers do the same? Or what can they not do a video call? So it's looking at alternatives rather than looking at the challenges and the limitations.
Right. Now, I know this is a fairy tale scenario, but is there a way to guarantee objectivity, transparency, and, well, just fairness in this whole process?
Okay, so let's first of all start by saying what needs to be said. A process of evaluation will never be 100% objective because we are evaluating, and therefore we are in certain ways, telling people how they did, what they did. Some of it can be fairly easy to demonstrate because it's very numerically based. So if you are in sales, you have a sales quota, you have a new business quota,
right.
You have a repeat business quota. But you have organized departments or functions like HR, finance, procurement, which may not be that easily evaluated because there's a lot more subjectivity in the process. So what do you measure in HR? How fast somebody recruits or how many people are recruited? So it's not just about the quantity, but maybe the quality, the efficiency, the value that you are bringing to the business. And if you add the component of the behaviors into the mix, that means how you interact with others, how do you manage your stakeholders?
Yeah.
Are you a team player? Is your communications style effective? Then we are adding, again, complexity and a bit more difficulty into the process. So the fact is it's not 100% objective. So what do? We need to put in place a process that guarantees that what we're mostly doing is looking at facts, looking at situations, looking at things that can be observable and therefore can be discussed and can be changed. There is no point in focusing on things that may not be possible to change, like your value system.
Yeah.
If we go into your value system, we are going into things that are very intrinsic to an individual and that clearly cannot be changed. But if we focus on behaviors that are observable and we focus on things and output that is expected to be generated, then we are able to give employees very concrete information and data as to what they have either produced or demonstrated. So that's how we manage objectivity. Transparency is all about being able to communicate the process that is being undertaken so that the employee knows that information is being gathered through feedback from others, that information of their own self-evaluation is considered, and that the information from the supervisor is considered. And that perhaps there is a higher level team within the organization that looks at all performance ratings to moderate and make sure that, in a way, the same ruler of fairness is applied so that we don't have a manager that is super fair and super clear with the ratings, but there's another manager that may be slightly more lax or more permissive or less strict. So we need to make sure that there are mechanisms inside the organization that help us also understand how it is done across departments so that when we have an entire organizational makeup, we are able to explain to our employees, this is the process that was taken, this is how the ratings were managed and reviewed, and this is why your rating ultimately is like what it is. So we will get transparency, objectivity, and fairness into the process. Lastly, what's important is to understand that we don't do this to ensure that the employee all the time accepts the results. In certain cases, the employee may not accept the results for whatever reasons, but what's important is that they understand the process, because once people understand the process, the likelihood of them being able to accept it is higher than if we just simply say, well, ratings were confidentially managed. We don't want to share with you the process, but accept it as it is. So you see the difference between explaining to someone how it's done against just telling him take it or leave it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break now for some messages. When we come back, we'll touch a bit on biases when you perform these performance evaluations, as well as feedback from employees post review. All that and more coming up on Resource Center. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Breathe freely, Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Resource Centre. My name is Audrey Raj. On the line with me right now, I have founder and principal consultant at Thread Advisory, Claudia Cadena. And we are talking about conducting performance evaluations and potential reviews remotely. Now, Claudia, before the break, we were beginning to talk a bit about feedback. Now, I will come to that in just a few minutes. But I just want to talk about what we did here at BFM. Now, when we had our reviews done, in December, we were reminded to be aware of biases that need to be managed so you can be as objective as possible when you do these reviews. Now, for the benefit of our listeners, maybe you can share some of the top biases that we need to be aware of when we undertake this process.
Yeah, it's very true. We need to remember that, as I was saying before, the evaluation process is not something that is fully objective. And because of that, we need to obviously be aware of some of the things that we may bring to this conversation that can cloud our judgment or can cloud the way we provide that feedback to the employee. So let me share with you the top 10 that I think are very, very important to consider.
There are 10 biases?
Yes, imagine. And that's just the top 10.
Oh.
But there are so many. So that's why let's focus on the ones that are most prevalent.
Great. Okay.
So if I very quickly, I will talk to you about them. Recency. Let's remember, we are evaluating a one-year performance. So let's not focus on what happened just last week or the last month. Let's always remember that when we are evaluating someone, we must evaluate them for the entire performance period so that we can consider everything that has been achieved and done through the period. If we think about the inverse of recency, it's the first impression. So this year, the employee started great, did lots of great work, and throughout the year, he or she started deteriorating in performance or behaviors. But the only thing we remember is the first thing that they did. So again, we're focusing only on one instance rather than providing an objective and long-term view of the entire performance cycle.
Right.
The third bias that we can have, it's called the halo or horn effect, which means I have certain level of standing in the organization. I have an image, and that image is what's guiding the evaluation of my supervisor. Instead of looking at the facts, the supervisor remembers that I have this image, very prompt, very good with customers. But he's not really looking at what exactly do I do? Am I really prompt every time? Am I really good with customers every time? It's just my impression, my image. So let's forget about that and let's look at the facts. Certain managers have another type of bias, which is they don't like confronting people. They don't like to give bad news. So let's just make it all easy and let's just rate everybody as good. Yeah. Let's not say that they are not performing or let's not say that they are outstanding. Let's put them in the middle so that they don't need to explain very much. But that's not fair to employees because we are not basically telling them what they've done well or what they can improve by just telling them that they are more or less okay. We have the other side of the coin, which is some managers being too lenient. Therefore, everybody is great. Everybody is performing extremely well, and then everybody gets a great rating. And again, we are clubbing everybody in the same box. Instead of telling people, look, these are your areas for development, these are the great things that you've done, and therefore being balanced in what we are saying to them so that they have a better view of themselves. Another perspective of that same type of bias is when the manager decides that he or she is the benchmark. So he's the goalpost, and everybody else is compared against how the manager behaves. That, again, is not a fair evaluation because, first of all, the manager is doing a higher-level job, and he or she may be evaluating people that are few levels below. So why is he using himself or herself as that benchmark when the benchmark that needs to be used is the role that the employee is performing when he or she is evaluated?
Right.
A manager can also look at another way of bias, which is, oh, he's similar to me or I'm similar to her. we go to the same restaurant, we like the same food. Therefore, we become a bit more lenient with this type of people who are similar to us.
Mm.
Let's forget about that and evaluate people on facts.
Mm.
The last three relate to the fact that many times I think this employee is in a certain way, and I'm only going to look for data that confirms my theory, ignoring data that contradicts that theory. So I'm just telling you are good, and I'm showing you the data that demonstrate you are good. But I'm not showing you the data that demonstrate that you are excellent, or I'm not showing you the data that demonstrate that you have some areas for improvement.
Mm.
Other biases that are a little bit more subdued and that perhaps are new, and they are not new, but they are now being spoken about, is, for example, gender bias. They have perhaps always existed, but we've never spoken about them. So it's important to consider that this can also come into the conversation. Are we having a gender bias, both for female or males? This cuts across both ways. Or other type of biases, maybe religious, maybe race, whatever it may be. So let's make sure that, again, evaluations are done based on facts. And lastly, it's all about making sure that we are evaluating every individual. It's not about saying, oh, well, this group of, this department is small, is performing really great, therefore everybody should be great.
Yeah.
Because we need to look at every individual. Is every individual carrying the weight, or there are three out of the four carrying the weight, and there's one on holiday?
Hmm.
So whenever we are doing evaluation, we can start thinking about some of these things to make sure that we remind ourselves as managers that what matters are the facts. What matters are the behaviors that people display. What matters is what we can observe, and therefore what we can communicate to the employee so that they become better aware of their strengths and their potential blind spots.
Right. Okay, Claudia, so now we understand how to keep our biases in check. We also understand how to go about performing these performance evaluations. And, you know, we've even discussed the process, but how do we prepare for the way employees will respond to feedback? Because sometimes, you know, it's just not received very well.
Yeah. I mean, I have heard throughout my career many, many organizations saying, we're not ready for feedback. Let's wait one more year. We are not ready as an organization. And what I always say is, you will never be ready, because accepting and giving feedback is not an easy process. It's something that we grow into and that we learn along the way through making our own mistakes. So I will say there are certain things that we have to start thinking about so that we become ready for these conversations. The first thing is, let's think about what are the possible reactions that our employees will have to the results that are going to be shared. Mm-hmm. And I guess in my mind, there are three types of reactions that you as a supervisor can get. You can get a reaction of someone that is very self-aware, and therefore the person accepts the results very well. Because the person knows themselves well, then they understand what you are telling them. They are aware that, yes, these are my strengths, and yes, these are the areas that I need to work on. So when you have this type of conversation with somebody that is self-aware,
mm-hmm.
most likely they will accept the results, whether they are positive or negative, but they will accept the results because they understand that this is who they are. Mm-hmm. So that's one possible reaction. Then you have a very different reaction of somebody that may resist the results, because their self-awareness may be distorted. Mm-hmm. And how is that? So maybe you have a cat that is looking at the mirror, and what he or she sees in the mirror is a lion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a cat, but you see a lion. Therefore, you may think that you are better or worse than what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get the results of your evaluation, you instinctively will say, no, that's not me. The feedback is wrong because I'm not like that.
Right.
So When you're prepared for that type of reaction, then as a manager, you know that what you need to do is build that self-awareness on the employee so that the person sees what others see on him or her, not his or her own self-reflection, but what others are seeing about this individual.
Mm-hmm.
So you build their self-awareness. But you also have the opposite of that, which is somebody that may have a low self-awareness in terms of thinking that they are worse than what they really are. So people that are very hard on themselves, they're never good enough. They're always thinking that they can do better, that they are not good enough. And when you give them the results, they may be surprised. They may say, wow, I never thought that this was who I really am. So you need to, again, help this person build their confidence and build their awareness that actually they may be better than they think they are. Mm. And if you think about this, we are doing all of that so that we can help them understand where to focus, how to go forward and be better or be more effective in what they do. So as a manager, that's the first thing you do. You really anticipate the type of reactions you're going to get from the feedback. Mm. Secondly, what we can talk about is how do we discuss the results? So as a manager, there are a variety of things that are simple, but let's think about them. Let's have a good setting. Let's make sure that wherever we have this conversation is private, is conducive, and it makes both of you relax. Instead of having this as a very formal and very stiff conversation, let's have a relaxed, productive conversation. Mm. Together with that, let's make sure that we allocate the right time. Let's not have that 15-minute conversation in a rush because we're running to the next meeting.
Yeah.
And thirdly, let's prepare ourselves. Let's have all that is required so that we can have a productive conversation. And thirdly, what I will say is whenever we talk to employees, let's make sure that we focus on the facts. So let's talk about a situation. Let's tell the employee what observable behaviors were displayed and then what the impact to the organization or to the relationship, so that employees can really understand, okay, this is what I did. This is how it impacted the situation. And then let's discuss how to move forward from there. So as a manager, these will be the things that I will say, let's consider so that we can equip ourselves better to have a much more productive conversation.
Hmm. Okay, Claudia, so now we understand how to receive that feedback as well and how to share the results of these performance evaluations, which is critical, right, to the performance of the organization. You mentioned that evaluating performances isn't enough, that we should actually go beyond performance and review potential as well. Can you talk to us about this?
Absolutely. It's something that I feel is extremely critical. Thank you for bringing that up. Many organizations and many employers think that talking to employees about performance is the only thing that matters. But I have a different perspective. I think that these conversations are a great opportunity for managers to start talking to employees about what's next. How can they grow? How can they develop? How can they move forward? And when I talk about this, I don't necessarily talk about promotions, but I talk about enriching their careers and enriching their professional life. And that may be by taking extended roles, by taking additional projects or additional assignments, or by getting ready for the next career step. Mm. So when we talk about performance, we're talking about what happened during the last year. But when we talk about potential, we're talking about a more long-term perspective, and we're talking about things that will happen into the future. So it's important that we have these conversations with our employees to understand, first of all, what's your ambition? What do you want to do next? How can I as a leader support you so that you are much more ready to take the next step in your career, whatever that step may be? Yeah. Or at the same time to understand, no, there are certain people who are comfortable in where they are, who are comfortable doing what they're doing, and who want to stay there. So as an organization and as a manager, then how can I leverage your skills? How can I leverage your knowledge and your ability to make you more effective and to make the function more effective as well? Mm. So that's why having a performance and potential conversation is much more enriching for the employee at the end of the day, rather than just telling him or her how they did last year. Let's focus on what's next. And then you have a balanced conversation about performance and potential.
Right. Now, Claudia, I already have a bunch of questions to ask you about these potential reviews, but we'll save that for another show. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Audrey. always a pleasure to be with you. And I look forward to having another conversation on many other topics of managing people's performance and potential.
Now, before I let you off the hook, Claudia, for our listeners out there who missed the Threat Advisory website at the top of the show, maybe you can repeat that for them if they want to go check out the services that you provide at Threat Advisory.
Sure, Audrey. It's www.threat-advisory.com. So please check it out, and I will be looking forward to have many more conversations with anybody who's interested in understanding how to improve their process and the practices to make sure that we support employees in their careers.
Right. Thank you for that, Claudia. I've been speaking with founder and principal consultant at Threat Advisory, Claudia Cadena. And if you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast of this interview will be up on our website, bfm.my, within the hour. You can also catch up on our podcast on the BFM app, on iTunes or on Spotify or anywhere else you get your podcast fix. We'll have more for you on Resource Center next week. But for now, this is Audrey Raj signing off, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.